The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his own hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for your words of promise that in our times of weakness, you are our strength. May we open ourselves to live fully in the presence of our weaknesses in community with one another, finding through your meeting us there and through our ability to lift one another up the true strength that comes only from you. Amen. Please be seated. Writer and professor Kate Bowler begins each episode of her podcast, Everything Happens, with these words. "Look, the world loves us when we are good, better, best. But this is a podcast for when you want to stop feeling guilty that you're not living your best life now. We are not always having an eat, pray, love experience." She continues, "I used to have my own delusion of living my best life now. I'm a Duke professor, wine and cheese enthusiast, wife and mom, Instagram gold. Then I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That was 4 years ago, and I'm still here. And now I get it. Life is a chronic condition." The self-help and wellness industry will try to tell you that you can always fix your life. Eat this, and you won't get sick. Lose this weight, and you'll never be lonely. Believe with your whole heart, and God will provide. Keep this attitude, and the money is yours. But I'm here to look into your gorgeous eyes and say, hey, there are some things you can fix, and there are some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always better. We can find beauty and meaning and truth, but there's no cure to being human. So let's be friends on that journey. Let's be human together. As you can imagine, I love this podcast. It's a continuation of a conversation that Kate Bowler began in 2016 with a New York Times article called Death, the Prosperity Gospel, and Me, in which she names the particular irony of her diagnosis with stage 4 cancer at the age of 35, given her work as a historian of the American prosperity gospel, the idea that God grants health and wealth to those who have the right kind of faith. In her article, Bowler names that one of the saddest things about being sick is watching people's attempts to make sense of your problem. Like the neighbor who came over to assure her and her husband that everything happens for a reason, which would soon become the title of her 2018 book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. In the book, Bowler tells her story with honesty about the fears and the uncertainty of her diagnosis, her fears of dying and leaving her husband and young son behind, the challenges she faced during her treatment and hospitalization. She shares stories of people who, like the well-meaning neighbor, said the exact wrong thing in response to her cancer, and then those who got it exactly right. It's an honest, unflinching look at the suffering she has experienced. One that does not explain it away or make it okay, yet names that grace was still found in the midst of it all. And she invites others who have experienced or written about suffering and loss to enter into this same vulnerable space, with plenty of dark humor that only those who have been through the worst of times can employ, to speak honestly about finding beauty and meaning and truth, even when the worst happens. It was the passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that made my mind go to Kate Bowler's work this week, about the community of people, whether guests or readers or listeners, who have been drawn to her honesty about grace in the middle of suffering. Paul is writing to the Corinthians about this same relationship between suffering and grace. Just prior to the words we heard this morning, he'd been writing to the Corinthians about the false apostles that had been cropping up in their area, boasting about their spiritual gifts and powers, raking in money from those seeking their own chance to be hashtag blessed. It's not entirely unlike the prosperity gospel preachers that Bowler has written about in her academic work. And Paul, surly as he can be, has no patience for them. Such boasters, Paul writes, are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not strange if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Their end will match their deeds. In the passage we heard today, Paul is trying to show his readers that the message he proclaims is not the same as those false apostles, which is why he kind of awkwardly talks about a vision he's had, but pretends that someone else had it so that he's not seen as boasting about his spiritual gifts the way that the false apostles did. We heard Don read, "I know someone who," that someone's Paul. He had a vision of being lifted up into the third heaven, but he's not going to use it to try to establish spiritual authority or power. Instead of boasting about spiritual gifts, Paul speaks about a thorn in his side, some unspoken suffering with which he's been afflicted. I wish that he had been featured on Kate Bowler's podcast so that we could know just what it was, but instead, scholars have been left to speculate for centuries about whether this was some kind of physical impairment, chronic pain, epilepsy, guilt, temptation, persecution. But while we don't have the answer to the nature of his suffering, he does, in this passage, offer some important teaching about suffering. In speaking about his suffering as an agent of Satan, it is clear that he is actively rejecting the idea that God is causing his suffering. An important distinction that shuts down comments like, "Everything happens for a reason," or "God needed another angel," or any of the painfully awful things that well-meaning people say to one another in times of suffering. What Paul names, though, as one writer puts it, is that God is present, even in the difficult things that God did not cause. And the grace of God can be made manifest even through the afflictions that bring God and us grief and sorrow. This is a hugely important distinction. God did not cause your suffering to teach you a lesson. Suffering is not your punishment. Suffering happens, whether as a result of some evil, as Paul thinks, because of natural processes of mutation and decay, and yes, in some cases, because of human sin. Bad things happen in this life. Stage 4 cancer at 35 years old, brain tumors at 26, loved ones dying unexpectedly, fires and hurricanes, violence and greed, apartment buildings crumbling, global pandemics that interrupt life for the entire world. These things happen. We know this to be true. Paul's words do not try to deny the reality of suffering, but rather give us new language for a way to see and respond when, not if, but when they happen. He doesn't explain away suffering or give reasons or excuses. Instead, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Again, God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." God's power and activity are made known in our times of weakness, and that does not just mean miraculous healing. God doesn't say, "My cure from anything harmful is sufficient." God says, "My grace is sufficient." And it is grace that we look for in our times of suffering, as glimmers of the presence of God in our midst, those moments of beauty and meaning and hope, the peace that passes all understanding, the loved ones there to see us through. The times of deepest suffering in my life has also been times of extravagant grace, shown in the presence and love of God, through the presence and love of the ones who helped carry me through. "When I am weak," Paul says, "I am strong." We are strong when we are weak because it is in these times that we have to let go of the illusion that we can do it all on our own, that we can fix everything, that there is some magical formula for our prayer, that we can simply will a solution into being. We are not strong in our strength,
but in our weakness. For it is here that we acknowledge our reliance on God and on one another. It is here that we gain access to a power that is so much greater than anything we could do on our own, the power of Christ within us, as Paul proclaims. It is here, in our moments of weakness, that we can find meaning and hope and beauty and grace and love more profound than we find in our ordinary lives, because those walls that we've worked so hard to build around our hearts come tumbling down. We don't have the strength to maintain them anymore. And so we rely not on our own strength, but on a strength that is beyond and surrounding and, yes, within us. Paul's words remind us, like Kate Bowler does at the beginning of each podcast, that there are some things you can fix and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always better. We can find beauty and meaning and truth, but there's no cure for being human. And in this place, here where we gather as a community, we find an invitation to each of us to connect and uplift each other along the way. So here, in this community, may we say yes to one another's suffering. May we show it to one another with grace and courage and love. And as Bowler's invitation goes, let's be friends on that journey. Let's be human together. Amen.